The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Vincent Lam, writer and director of the short film Detainment. There's probably few people out there who haven't heard of the case of Jamie Bulger. 2-year-old Jamie was killed in 1993 by then 10-year-olds Robert Thompson and John Venables after they took him from a shopping centre when he was with his mother. Now, Vincent Lam has taken the interviews the two did in the aftermath of that murder and created a 30-minute film called Detainment. And last month, it was announced that the film has been shortlisted for an Oscar. Vincent, firstly, congratulations on being shortlisted. And just before we talk a little bit about the short film, here's a clip from it. This is John Venables admitting to his mother that he did, in fact, kill 2-year-old Jamie Bulger.
John, your dad and I want to say something to you. And it's important, right?
Okay.
We want you to know that we love you very, very much.
More than anything.
And nothing's going to change that, okay? So, what I'm trying to say, John, is that no matter what happens, no matter what you've done, even if it's really, really bad, I always love you. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
We'll always love you, John. But you've got to tell the truth.
Mom. Mom, I wanted to tell you. Will you tell her I'm sorry?
Now, that is a very strong performance from the young actor Eli Solon, who played John Venables. And I watched this last night, this 30-minute short film, and it's a difficult but a brilliant watch. And firstly, Vincent, can I ask you, why did you decide to take on this project, especially considering the fact that it's dug up so many painful memories for those directly involved?
Yeah, sure. I was 12 at the time when it happened. So I grew up hearing about it. And, you know, I could never understand how these two 10-year-old boys could commit such a horrific crime. When I was growing up, you know, the explanation I was given was that it was, well, because they were evil, you know, and I think that's still, you know, the popular opinion, certainly in the UK. And I understand, you know, that opinion and why people think that, you know, because when it happened, I think people just couldn't, you know, cope with the fact that these were two 10-year-old boys. And the only way they could make sense of it was by coming to the conclusion that, well, they were evil. And I always just thought it was, you know, as an adult looking back, I thought it was such a simplistic answer. And I wanted to get a deeper understanding of it, and I started reading everything I could find on it. And I got to the interview transcripts, and I thought I had known everything there was to know about this case, and I realized I actually knew very little, and I think a lot of people feel that way, and they might shy away from absorbing any more facts about it because it's so horrific. But I felt I was seeing something that not everybody was seeing. At the same time, you know, I had a lot of apprehensions about making this as a film because it's so sensitive, and it's a difficult one to make without it being divisive, you know. So when I decided to adapt it as a 30-minute drama, I wanted to ensure that it was entirely factual and there were no embellishments in there whatsoever.
Well, just on that point, you have come in for some pretty heavy criticism today, in particular in relation to the finished product and the depiction. One of the leading investigators said that some of the scenes didn't depict accurately what actually happened. Do you stand over that? Take, for example, the interview rooms, which are very bleak and grey and gloomy. And this particular detective said that that wasn't the case, that they ensured that the rooms were freshly painted, that the boys were as comfortable as possible, that there were crisps and drinks and things like that on offer.
So, sure. I mean, so if he's talking about production design, you know, I imagine that the rooms we've got are different, but they're certainly not grimy in any way. The film itself is almost entirely verbatim, and you know, I would say to anybody who doubts it to have a look at the interview transcripts. And you know, there's a great book by David James Smith, a journalist who I actually got to meet, and he called the film authentic. The book he wrote is called The Sleep of Reason, and it goes through the interviews step by step, and it's almost entirely verbatim what's in the film. So I'm not sure if Albert has actually seen the film. The detective who said that, Albert Kirby, he was the superintendent at the time and led the investigation. But, you know, I hope he does watch the film, because I think he will find that it is authentic. And the one thing David James Smith, the journalist who covered the case at the time, was that he said the film was authentic, and he said if audiences are willing, they will find in the film the truth of those two boys.
Jamie Bulger's mother, Denise Fergus, I'm sure you're aware, isn't happy with the film. She's angry about the film Detainment. Did you seek her approval or the family's approval before you went ahead with it?
So we didn't, you know, and it's the sort of film that, you know, I wouldn't expect them to be comfortable with, a film which humanizes these boys, you know, and understandably so. I wouldn't expect her or the wider family of James Bulger to feel
any
different.
Was it something that you considered? Did you consider approaching the family? It sounds like like you knew what the answer would be.
I did. I mean, everything in the film is already public record, you know. So, I mean, from that point of view, it's, you know, you don't need permission to tell somebody something that's already public record. It's been shown in several documentaries already. It's all there. There's nothing I'm changing with it. And we wanted to rely solely on the factual material. So I think, you know, by talking to, you know, one family and not another or any of the families, then you would be, even if it's subconsciously, you'd be putting an opinion in there on the film. And we didn't want to do that. We wanted to make a film which was entirely factual and based on the evidence that's already there.
Detective Superintendent Kirby also criticised you for the depiction of John Venable's mother. And I actually think that this was an unfair depiction after watching it last night. He said that she was a key party in supporting her son and encouraging him to tell the truth. And he said that he didn't think that came across whatsoever, showed her being a yelling, screaming cow of a mother, which she certainly wasn't. I think that's an unfair criticism to level against you, because you could see in the short film that I watched last night that she was encouraging John to tell the truth.
Yeah, I was extremely surprised by that comment, because I think anybody who watches the film will see her as being very supportive and encouraging him to tell the truth, exactly what he said. I think what Albert Kirby was referring to was just one clip which they played today on Good Morning Britain, and it's that point where John finally admits that he was in the Strand, and up to this point he had been denying it, and then there's one moment where she kind of grabs him and she says, "Was you in the Strand?" And the detective says, "Mrs. Venables, I must ask you not to get angry with him." And that is the only time, you know, that she, you know, shouted at him. But, you know, I think she was absolutely very supportive of him, and I think the film shows that, you know. So I would urge anyone, you know, who doesn't think that to watch the film and to compare it to the interview transcripts, because I mean, those scenes are entirely verbatim.
Can I ask you, how many hours of transcripts did you have to go through?
So there was almost 15 hours of interviews which were recorded. It was 20 interviews with the boys. So there's a lot of editing to get that down to 30 minutes.
I was
minutes,
just going to ask, how did you then distill that down to a 30-minute short film?
So, I mean, really, it's taking the most relevant pieces, but because we're cutting back and forth between interviews, we don't see everything. You know, when we come back to the room again, it's time has moved on, And that's, I mean, the device of intercutting allows you to do that in a film. But really, you know,
was it a difficult process for you, aside from being a filmmaker? Was it a very difficult process to actually read those transcripts and to see the words that the boys had shared in their interviews? Because there was one particular transcript that wasn't shown to the jury because it was so graphic and so distressing.
So, yeah, I mean, there were certain pieces of the transcript, you know, which haven't been released. There's different opinions on that, though, as well. And the reason they didn't was, you know, because they didn't want to, you know, put the family through the distress of having to hear, you know, all the details. And I've never read those either. They haven't ever been made public as far as I'm aware. But you know, in terms of writing the film, you know, it was a little bit like, you know, maybe, you know, just trying to get the pace and structure of it right and putting pieces of a puzzle together. But everything in the film is entirely factual and there's no embellishments whatsoever.
Okay, Vincent Lam, we'll have to leave it there. As I said earlier, it has been shortlisted for an Oscar. The nominations will be announced on the 22nd of this month. Best of luck with it. That's Vincent Lam, director of the controversial film of Jamie Bulger's Killers, Detainment.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.